do some good things, but then he's a bit of an unknown from my point
of
view.
Well, he's also surrounded himself with these neocons and Goldman Sachs people. So he's going to be sitting around the cabinet table in a minority of one. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the part of the problem here. You know, he's going to be president, but is he going to be able to actually do what he wants? And in fact, it might even be that those people round on him. I mean, the neocons have already started this whole thing, this whole business of, you know, Russia. Russia has got, this is what they said, isn't it, last week? Russia has got intelligence on Trump, and they may use it. You know, this is really interesting, the way that this is spun out by the London press uncritically. And by the way, it's only a handful of news wire services that almost all the newspapers use to base all their news on. Things like the Press Association, Associated Press, Reuters, Agence France-Presse. There's a handful of them. And they all say the same thing. They all say the same lies. And everyone just treats it as the truth in international news. I mean, not so bad national news, but international news is totally managed. There's no kind of critical anything going on there. I mean, for, just as an example, we had this, they've decided this MH370, this plane that disappeared a couple of years ago, heading off for China from Kuala Lumpur, a Malaysian Airlines plane. You know, the MH370 disappeared. And they've said, oh, we've given up looking for it. Well, this is an absolute farce because they've been looking for it in totally the wrong place.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if you've been following.
Is that the one that's got something to do with the patents? Like, were the people on board who are a master?
Yes, that's the question. I mean, I'm not really interested in who was on board, actually. I'm much more interested in, as someone that has worked in aviation, I'm interested in what evidence there is about where this thing went and where it landed. And first of all, we saw massive news management of that story, an unbelievable scale. For anyone that's an insider in journalism, in the mainstream, worked in the mainstream press, you can see this. It's first of all, they said, oh, it's just disappeared. And then we saw a release of the military radar traces. Well, what happened? The plane did not just disappear. It turned around and started going off in the opposite direction. And it was following the zigzag pattern, right? It would go in a zigzag.
Right.
And that was only because we got somebody in the military in Malaysia released the radar trace. The government, I don't think, wanted to do that. And then we got this other extra. So it basically doubled back on itself across Malaysia and headed out over the Indian Ocean, not into towards China at all. First of all, I'd say that zigzag is exactly what, if you go onto the paths of the jets on September the 11th attacks in the States, you'll see exactly the same thing. These planes are zigzagging, like they're tracking this way, then that way. This is a very interesting, planes don't, airliners never fly like that. Yeah. They don't zigzag. Military aircraft do. Military jets do, because they, just like in the Second World War, they would be heading, say, to Paris to bomb Paris, maybe. Actually, I don't think they really did bomb Paris much, but say they'd be heading to, I don't know, Kiel or a military port in the north of Germany, all these massive, you know, hundreds and hundreds of bombers from Britain.
Right.
And then they would change direction and then be heading somewhere else so that the Nazis didn't know where they were going.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a military thing where they zigzag. So that if, say, for example, the planes are heading in X direction and then they go out of radar range, you have no idea where that plane is going to go. Yeah, so you can't just follow a straight track. So this is what is very suspicious about that MH370, which nobody at all has ever mentioned, I've ever seen anywhere in the international press. This is what I mean by news management.
So,
then we have a sightings of that plane at the Maldives. Several people said, oh, we saw this airliner flying very low over the sea, you know, off the coast. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened straight after that, and that was only a few days after it disappeared, because it was a weekly paper in the Maldives that came out and said this. And then there's all these denials issued. Now, how can you issue a denial from a desk in New York or London or Washington of Associated Press or whoever to deny that somebody in the Maldives saw a plane? It's complete rubbish. And yet those denials squashed that story. So the story got out for about an hour, and then these denials came out. No, it can't be. No. It wasn't. They didn't see it. And this is where it becomes really obvious, right, that jet was almost certainly flying, if it was passing the west of the Maldives going south to Diego Garcia, which is this secret American base, which is actually owned by the Brits, but the Brits have leased it to the Americans. And also, there was another clue, supposed clue, that came out last year, that in, I think it's Asuncion Island, just off the east coast of Africa, that apparently they found some debris from this jet. Right. Mm-hmm. Now, they found that debris, I think it's a year or something like that after the plane had, maybe even 18 months after the plane had so-called crashed. And they used it as evidence that, well, the sea here drifts in this westerly direction. Well, I can tell you, right, you look at the speed of the sea currents, if the plane had come down where they said it would take about a month and a half for the debris to drift that in that direction. What they're asking us to believe is it actually took a year and a half for it to get there. So somebody has placed that debris there deliberately to make it look as if, you know, all these kind of obvious things about an airliner which has disappeared with hundreds of people who also disappeared. You know, these are very important facts which we are never ever told by the internet. So it's the international press which I think is the most controlled.
So what do you think actually happened to that plane then, or what's the theory?
Well, it was almost okay. Very simple, two explanations. One, it was hacked. That is to say, you get an aircraft or a ground station, probably an aircraft that can fly alongside it or nearby or maybe even 100 miles away, you know, so that it can't be seen visually by the passengers or the pilot, can hack into that plane and steer it and tell it where to go, you know, so the pilot's got no control. Now, these systems exist to override hijackers, okay? Yeah. So they will be treating the pilot as if he was a hijacker.
Mm-hmm.
So they could have flown it any way they wanted to. Mm-hmm. The other possibility is that the military came through to the pilot on the radio and said, and basically told him where to go. So, hi, you know, it would just come through to a civilian pilot. This is such and such from the military.
Mm-hmm.
There's been an emergency of some sort, so you can't fly to China. You have to follow this track. And they would have told him to fly there, and he would have just done it. I mean, you could... If you, you know, you come through as the military on a recognized military frequency to a civilian airline pilot, they will do exactly what the military tell them to do. So, you know, neither of these two, for me, as someone in the who's worked in the business of both media and aviation, you know, obvious answers, neither of those two have been even mentioned in any of the mainstream press. The possibility of hacking really not been looked at all. The other possibility of, you know, military coming through on the radio and just telling the pilot what to do hasn't been looked at either. The idea is it's some sort of kind of Bermuda Triangle mystery, you know.
Yeah.
But that's absolute rubbish. This plane almost certainly landed somewhere. And the thing that the real smoking gun, I suppose, has been, well, it's nothing to do with this bit of debris which was found in Asuncion, probably placed there by a criminal who's involved in killing all these people or, you know, whatever's happened to them. You know, the real smoking gun is this information came out from Rolls-Royce about the how long the jet was actually flying for something like 5 hours after it was supposed to have disappeared. And that was never supposed to come out. Rolls-Royce came out with it. The Malaysians, would you believe, the Malaysian airline officials even denied it, said, no, this is not true, but quite clearly it was true. And that gives the plane plenty of time to have flown down to... in fact, I would suggest that Rolls-Royce probably know exactly what was the geographic GPS location of the plane when it did stop, you know, when they did turn the engines off. It may have been Diego Garcia, but they just can't tell anyone. But they have given as much of a clue as they can, saying that the engine switched off 5 hours after.
So why the cover-up with it, though? Why the big secret about it?
Well, because the this is almost certainly some sort of military operation, and the military are not, that's the US military probably, in collaboration with other NATO militaries like the British, you know, And that is not going to find its way into the civilian news stream. Yeah, so it's a secret. You're never going to find out. In fact, the same sort of thing, exact thing has happened with the MH17. That's that airliner that came down in Ukraine.
Ukraine one, yeah.
The same exact thing has happened there, because what you've got is sightings of a Ukrainian, they think anyway, a Ukrainian fighter jet in the area, which was reported by the BBC in the BBC's Russian or Ukrainian service, whatever it is over there. And then they then took that report down. And then some people thankfully saved it, you know. But it was a video, an interview with people on the ground who'd seen a fighter jet. Now, that, you know, the fact that they've removed that just shows you that they're covering it up.
Yeah.
And on the wider question of the investigation afterwards, the panel that's investigating it includes Ukraine. Now, the way it works with a kind of criminal disclosure of an investigation like that is all parties, that is to say the Malaysians, the Australians who were looking for it too, the British who got the cockpit voice recorder, everybody involved has to agree before any information is released. And of course, the Ukrainians are not going to agree to anything. They haven't even released the audio of the air traffic control, which is astounding. Mm-hmm. So the Ukrainians were definitely involved in shooting that plane down and killing all those people. I don't think there's much doubt at all in my mind, particularly because of all the spin that was put on, it must have been the Russian rebels. Didn't even have one of these things that could have shot them. You know, it is obviously, this obvious lies involved in there. And the reason that Malaysia in both those cases was chosen, I think, is pretty clear, because the Malaysian Airlines and the Malaysian government has prosecuted the Bush and Blair and the Israelis for war crimes in absentia. So these people cannot visit Malaysia. There's been war crimes trials against there are various people, including senior Israelis. And if they ever fly to Malaysia, they'll be arrested as they get off the plane. And so that's why I think the Malaysians have been targeted. And I'm rather proud in a weird way that it's an ex-British colony, you know, because we've left in a small way there a sense of justice,
right.
You know. That is the only place one of the only places in the world that's bothered to take international law seriously and make sure that people like Kissinger cannot go there, you know.
Yeah. Well, that would be a shame. It would be better if it was more countries like that, wouldn't it, really?
Well, if all countries, I mean, there is no proper international law, and the Russians have really just enforced it, you know, because they were going to lose their bases in the Eastern Mediterranean in Tarsus in Syria, and they would have lost their base in the Crimea if the West had had its way in the Ukrainian. In the Black Sea fleet would have gone. Mm-hmm. Now, that would make such an enormous change to the geopolitical situation, with the Arab-Israeli crisis, to have no Russian warships anywhere near the area, no Russian ships in the Mediterranean or the Black Sea. You know, that would have just completely tipped the balance of power. So the Russians couldn't allow Syria to fall. So.
Yeah.
That's been the big tipping point. In a way, you can go back to the Book of Acts in the Bible. And I mean, I'm a Christian Quaker, and I do take some of this stuff quite seriously. And you look at what happened with Saul on the road to Damascus and his conversion to Christianity. He was persecuting Christians, and he had this little sort of conversion where the scales fell from his eyes and an angel vision appeared. And I think that's what we're seeing today, a kind of echo of that from the past. On the road to Damascus, the world has realized that, you know, the in Syria, that this whole thing of regime change is no more. That policy out of the door. And obviously, they're going to try in places like Gambia and in places like Africa, et cetera, and this will happen. But, you know, it's been, I think, quite a real awakening for Western populations to see how wicked their governments have been in just simply taking over these countries.
Yeah.
And the thing is, as the criminal elite in the West are blocked by the Russians, then they start looking at home and think, right, well, you know, well, what can we do? I mean, look at what's happened. I mean, this has happened in the US, hasn't it? Is that the attack on democracy in America and the attack on Donald Trump, mm-hmm. you know, so they can't beat the Russians, but they can bash Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. And that's what they've been doing. The idea that they're releasing, you know, the Russians have got this intelligence on Donald Trump. They're going to mm-hmm. tell all these kiss and tell stories from his past and his wife. And that, well, actually, that isn't the Russians that are going to do that.
Yeah,
that's the criminal elite.
Yeah,
the criminal elite in the West. And I imagine right this minute, there are all sorts of documents being copied in the CIA, which are then being passed to neocons in America that can then use that information in the press against Trump. So yeah, the media is the in a way it's like the nervous system of humanity, mm-hmm. and the criminals have got control of a lot of it now, including parts of the BBC. With, I mean, Laura Koonsberg, there's really no way that she should ever appear on the television again if she's at which she's, you know, been proved to fabricate reports smearing mm-hmm. the opposition leader of Britain, you know.
Yeah.
You see, how on earth can anyone take her seriously again? The same with Cathy Newman on Channel 4 News. She smeared the Muslims, you know, by saying that she'd been ushered out of a mosque and tweeting about it. And there was this news story that went around the country, isn't it terrible, you know, these Muslims. And then it was shown by CCTV that there'd been nobody anywhere near her. She just walked out of the mosque of her own accord. So these people are fabricating an Islamophobic lie in very much the same way as the Nazis in Nazi Germany were fabricating the anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish, Jewish hate lies. And the bigger picture really is we've got an attack on people of faith. Back then it was the Jews. Now it's the Muslims. In the future, quite clearly, it's going to be Christians. All of this attack is focused around this Knights Templar crusade against Jerusalem, and Donald Trump, it looks, is going to be co-opted into being part of that.